Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are going to shift gears, as we like to do on this program. And actually, I didn't do it. Beth did it. She found a great guest, and it fits with the financial world enough that we wanted to bring the guest on, and you'll see why in just a moment. The guest is Dr. David Simonson, and he is a PhD in psychology. He is a therapist, parenting and relationship therapist, so all you parents and folks of need of relationship therapy, stay tuned. David's written the book, When Parenting Backfires, 12 Thinking Errors That Undermine Parents' Effectiveness. And he co-wrote that with Daniel Bates. And the website, davidsimonson.net. And of course, book available in all places where good books are sold. And I want to dive in with Dr. David Simonson. And we share the same name, so I may make this easy for you listeners and call him Dr. David. And I'll just be regular David, and that's okay with me. He's done a lot of work, but you know, he draws from his experience having a wife of 20 years and 7 kids. Dr. David, I think you need to get on the couch. I mean, good grief.
I'm to sleep. I get on the couch to sleep.
Okay.
From all my work with the kids. And actually, my wife is the one that does the majority of the work, and yeah. I just kind of sit back and let life happen.
That's excellent. That's the right answer, and I applaud you for that. That's very good. Do you practice that in front of the mirror, or are you?
You know, it's taken 20 years of marriage to be able to learn that. I learned a long time ago that some people say happy wife, happy life, and I say controlling wife, dismal life. And so it's somewhere in between. My okay. wife doesn't control me, but I want to make her happy, so I do what I can to make her happy. And then she makes me happy, and then life is good.
Life is good. All right. Very good. Well, you've solved the mystery of the ages, David. Very good. So let's
if I could just put it into a pill, it would make me a billionaire.
Red pill or blue pill?
Either.
Okay. All right, so let's do this. Let's dive in here. I want to jump right to dealing with teenagers because I've got 3. All right, now
yep.
I don't know what the ages of yours are, but mine are 14, 12, and 11, and I'm getting a bunch of questions. In fact, one of them asks pretty much all the questions for the group. But you know, one of the things I know that you talk a lot about in your book, and also helping people's parents think about, you know, this interaction with these children we're trying to raise and develop and nurture into wonderful adults who will be self-sufficient and then you know, just make us very proud and have a lot of their own personal achievement. How do we answer their questions? I guess that's the first place I want to start.
You know, so to go back, I have an 18, 16, 12, and then on down to 4-year-old.
Wow.
So I am in the thick of the teen years. So I honestly think directness and honesty is the best approach, but it's based on the age of the child. So, you know, terrorist bombings, for example, an 18-year-old and a 16-year-old can understand that. A 5- and 6-year-old can't really wrap their mind well around that, but you don't have to lie about it. I think you can talk about it in terms that they understand. If there's a parent that's dying or a mom or dad that has left the house, a 16- and 18-year-old understand that that's happened, and so you can be more direct and honest with them, where the 6-year-old may not completely understand. So if a parent left the house because of a drug addiction, let's say, to a 6-year-old, you can say, well, mom or dad got really sick, and they have to take care of their sickness.
Right, okay.
An 18-year-old can understand that, well, mom is addicted to heroin, and she can't function well as an adult in this house, and so she can't be here.
Okay. All right. So the first is to tailor your response to your audience.
Yeah.
Okay.
Basically.
Okay.
I think where parents get tripped up is that they lie to their kids.
Yeah.
And hope their kid forgets.
Yeah.
But their kid doesn't forget. And then the kid finds out that they lied.
Right.
And then I can't trust my parent because if they lied about this, what else have they lied about?
Yeah, some of those fun things that we do, like Tooth Fairy and such, come back to bite us, no pun intended.
Well, and so that's an disagreement or something. My kids don't believe in Santa Claus because it's a lie, right? And St. Nick was an actual person, but the idea of this man comes down your chimney and leaves, they know that that's not real.
Right.
And some parents love to put that, I mean, I'm it's rude, I guess, when I call it a falsehood, but they put that out, that story out there. And I know that some kids were 12 and 13 until they realized, wait, that's not real.
Right.
We have personal friends that would tell that story. So my wife and I just believe in honesty, and I mean, yeah, and it works for us.
Yeah, she believes it. You agree with her. Good, very good. Okay, so let me ask you this. How about the financial questions? Because, again, I this is one that I'm a little bit, ironically, you might think, the listeners may say, David, you deal with money all the time. But when it comes to my own family and the kids asking me questions, Dr. David, you know, it's a little awkward for me. I'm like, well, you know, how do you help them understand how the world works? But also, you know, I want to be careful how much I share with them about our own finances and where we are relative to other people. And that I find, I'm like, the Tooth Fairy did it. I, you know, I don't know what to tell them.
Yeah. Well, I think for me, so it's funny because I go into homes every week talking to the parents about how to get their kids to do chores and things like that. And so then that potentially implies that all my kids do their chores just like they're supposed to. And I come home, and guess what? My kids don't always do their chores either, so I get frustrated with it. And so I imagine that's similar in many to most fields, where we can be an expertise as we can be an expert as we talk to others, but then when we do our own life, that same expertise doesn't hold true. And I think that shows the power of family dynamics. So for you to talk to your kids, or for me to talk to my kids about, you know, whether it's finances or coming up with a plan to do chores, I mean, I think that that's a reality. And so I think then you just need to sit down and be purposeful in talking with your kids. So if your kids have questions about finances and you're kind of, oh, I'm not certain I want to talk about this, why is that? You know, I would say, why is it that you don't want to talk to your kids, but you would freely talk with that about with a client, I guess.
Well, I'm okay talking about the client's finances. I don't necessarily want to talk about mine.
Well, no. The thing is, though, I'm hoping that you're doing, like, not just you, but that parents do it in general, that kids need to learn by seeing their parents. And so whether it's finances, whether it's being consistent in your speech, whether it's being honest, whether it's being upright, the kids need to see that. So I don't think you have to open up your payroll or your checkbook and say, look at all these transactions. But I think it's important for kids to have a general working knowledge of budgeting, saving, working hard to get what you want here.
Yeah, that's very true. I agree with that. And I think that I'm not a complete black box here. I do, we do talk about things and explain things, and, we tell them how, that we're saving for college, we are, we have a house, we have a mortgage, we explain those things, and things cost money, and no, you can't have the, that toy, and even if you're using your money, you can't have it. But I just find it to be a little bit of a tricky conversation, I guess, so I was curious what your thoughts were on it.
Is it really their money?
No.
Did they really earn that? Or are you being nice? Like, for me, my kids often will think, well, I have this money, and I think, how did you get that money?
Right. Right, of course. All right, well, let's do this. Let's grab a break. Dr. David Simonson, ladies and gentlemen, PhD in psychology. He needs every ounce of that with the work he does. The book, When Parenting Backfires, 12 Thinking Errors That Undermine Parents. And we'll grab a quick break, word from our wonderful sponsors, and we'll be back after this brief break.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, General Manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, a Digny Memorial provider. We are committed to service beyond expectation, before, during, and after the service. To that end, we offer a service guarantee. If there's anything we can do to meet your individual needs, please let us know and we'll take care of it immediately. This is another way we offer great level of professionalism in working with our families. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, and I'm board certified in divorce and family law. I focus on representing divorcing spouses over the age of 50. For those previously divorced individuals who desire to marry again but want to avoid the expense and acrimony of another contested divorce, I specialize in drafting prenuptial and postnuptial agreements. You can contact me in our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit my website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Hello, this is David Holland. You already know from listening to this program that I'm very careful about my financial advice. It will come as no surprise then that I feel the same way about my other recommendations. If you love traditional, authentic Greek food as much as I do, then there's just one place to go, the Greek Town Taverna at 150 North Nova Road in Ormond Beach. It's just around the corner from my office, so you'll see me there for lunch at least a couple times a week. They've got stuffed grape leaves, gyros, lamb chops, octopus, and baklava. You can find all of these wonderful homemade Greek favorites every day of the week. They offer a wide variety of wine and beer to pair with your meal as well. Visit GreekTownTaverna.com or call 386-944-9526 for more information. I'll see you there. Hey, we're back, and Dr. David Simonson's on the line with us, PhD in psychology, and he co-wrote the book, When Parenting Backfires, 12 Thinking Errors That Undermine Parents' Effectiveness. He did that with Daniel Bates, the website davidsimonson.net. It's S-E-N, so David Simon and then S-E-N.net, davidsimonson.net. And we're talking about relationships with the teens and about parenting, and we were talking a little bit before the break about money and helping the kids understand how that works. And David, you mentioned chores and getting kids to do that. What is your thought on best practices? I won't ask whether you apply it in your household, but best practices on whether you give an allowance, whether you pay a rate for each chore done, you pay don't pay for chores, and hey, I'll help you out when you need money. And before you answer, I'll tell you that we've gone all over the place to, you know, chores having a specific price tag and putting them up for bid, to not paying for any chores, and to kind of saying, you know what, you're part of a family. When you need money, we're going to help you, and just please do what we need to do to be part of this family and keep it running and functioning, and don't argue.
Yeah. So I am a true capitalist. So I say that thinking I'll probably say something that defies that. But so in our house, when you're part of the Simonson household, you do chores just because you're part of the household. I think that generally speaking, when you put money to a chore becomes a commodity.
Right.
And people can choose whether they want to do it or not. And
yeah.
To me, this is a benevolent dictatorship. And so when I ask you to do a chore, you just do it because that's what you're supposed to do in this house. Now, when you move out of this house,
right,
you can choose to do whatever you want when you have your own place. So we don't pay for chores and we don't give an allowance. And I think you hit it basically where it said, you know, we'll help you out when you need to. So if our kids go on a retreat or something,
right,
we're willing to, you know, fork over some money to help them do that. Or if they want something and they, you know, work a little bit extra for it, we're willing to, help them out like that. With my two oldest, I've told them very clearly they have to pay for their car insurance.
Right.
And the idea behind that, you know, some parents don't do that. And my idea behind that is that when they're 18, 19, I'm of the belief that they're going to have to be supporting themselves. Now, the current political climate, there's others who don't believe that support a certain candidate that wants to be taken care of. And I don't value that. I don't think that's worthwhile, honestly.
Yeah.
I believe in hard work. I believe in, being ethical in your work. And so that's what I try to teach my kids.
All right, that's fair. Well, listen, here's my take on it, David, for what it's worth. When everybody gets a participation trophy, they don't expect to pay for their car insurance either.
Well, I'll tell you, I don't want to go too political, but, you know, 10 to 15 years ago, I think, is about when participation trophies started and the focus on self-esteem started. Yeah. And the kids that experienced that were, you know, 8, 9, 10. And so you fast forward that to present day, and those are the same kids that are currently in college saying they need safe spaces.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
So I think that there's consequences to how we parent our children and the things we let them do. So if we think about today with, and again, we're getting a little bit into the weeds, but like with transgendered issues, which are the big thing of today, and I can say that I'm this person and you just have to accept it.
Yeah.
What does that look like 10 years from now when those people are in colleges and those people are, you know, in positions of leadership? So it's what we do today affects our future, I believe.
Well, and that's a non-political statement right there, David. You know, and what we do today not only has a consequence or potential consequence today, but has ramifications and ripple effect down the road and affects our children. And you know, my kids know exactly where I am politically. I mean, and it's not that I'm really setting them down and saying, let me indoctrinate you. But when somebody comes on television and my eyes roll to the back of my head, you know, they're not dumb. They can see it pretty clearly. And they,
right.
So it's no mystery here, but yeah, I agree. I love that the two words you spoke earlier, benevolent dictatorship, because you know, look, that is what it is, and we do need them to understand that things have a cost, and that really brings me to the other thing that I also would love. So you don't get to take a nap on the couch. I get to jump on the couch now, and you can help me with this. This whole idea of negotiating. This is where that dictatorship comes into play. I don't really negotiate with terrorists, okay? You're going to do your homework. You're going to take out the dog. I'm not going to fight with you about it. And I need you to do it. So help me with the negotiation. I mean, I explained why, but help me with that.
So I think what happens is that parents will come to me and they say, my kid just likes to manipulate me. And I instantly think, okay, that's one way to look at it, I suppose. Then another way to look at it is that manipulation is actually unsophisticated negotiation. And so
that's good.
Kids need to, you know, you and I, as we have our own businesses and we interact with other professionals and we have them potentially have employees or subcontractors, we have to know how to negotiate and have this give and take that happens potentially. Kids need to learn that as well. And the safest environment for them to learn that in is in the house that they grow up in. And so I think for parents, it needs to become a kind of a shift change in how they think about their kids. A lot of times you'll see books on shelves like how to deal with your crazy teens and living through the crazy teen years. And I think authors have done a disservice because it's not really crazy teens. It's just adults, people wanting to be independent and people wanting to be adults that are unsophisticated on how to do it effectively.
Yeah.
And so then it appears to us as parents like, oh wow, I can't believe how manipulative they are. Well, if they can go to you and you say no, but then they can go to your wife and she says yes, well, they're going to do that every time.
Yeah, I'm wise to that one. I'm wise to that one. I asked before I asked the question, have you asked your mom yet?
Yeah, and that's just, you know, we can get mad at the kid, but that's just kind of human
it's
nature.
It's learned
right?
behavior. That's not something they're born knowing. They learn it.
Right. So then that's where, okay, you need to talk with your other parent and figure out what's going to be the plan so you guys can make communication. So I think that's negotiation, and there's different levels. Just like we talked about lying or being honest about things, you do it differently with a 6-year-old versus a 16-year-old.
Right.
And so a 6-year-old, I don't think you negotiate as much because they have no common sense. And if they say, I want to go run across the street, no, you can't run across the street. But if a 16-year-old says, I want to run across the street, well, you can hopefully trust that your 16-year-old knows to look both ways and understands how a crosswalk works, et cetera, et cetera. So I think that there is some things that are negotiable, but then there's things that are non-negotiable. So you as the parent have to determine what that is. So like a chore in my world could be potentially negotiable. You know, Dad, I want to do this later. Is that okay? And then we have a conversation. Dad, I want to have my girlfriend sleep in my room with me tonight. That's a non-negotiable in my world. And my kids would know never to ask something like that because it's just stupid question in my house.
Right.
Or even, I want to go smoke in my room or whatever. I mean, those are non-negotiables. And so every family is going to have different non-negotiables. But you as the parent have to determine what that is, and then you have to let the kid know. Because if they don't know, their attempts to try to get to do whatever they want to do can seem like manipulation, but again, it's unsophisticated negotiation, I believe.
Good stuff. Dr. David Simonson, ladies and gentlemen, you see why he's on the program. When Parenting Backfires, 12 Thinking Errors That Undermine Parents' Effectiveness. That's the book, and you can take a look at that on the website, davidsimonson.net, S-E-N, davidsimonson.net. Quick break, more to come. Stay right there.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Get the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y, for a better us.
Hey, David Holland here. I'd like you to listen closely to a few words from my good friends, Tony Papandrea and Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation.
Hi, I'm Tony, chairman of the Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation. If you need more income now with some tax advantages and would like to leave a future benefit for Florida Hospital Hospice Care, a charitable gift annuity might be a good fit for you. Learn how to include charitable gift annuities in your financial planning. They could benefit you with higher tax advantage yields than you are getting now, and benefit Florida Hospital Hospice Care later. Call us at 386-586-4440 for more information.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services, including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Retirement planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. It also doesn't have to be done in a hurry or with sales pressure. Since starting Holland Financial in 1997, it has been David Holland's mission to help individuals, couples, and families plan their futures with personalized financial planning. David puts himself in his client's shoes and recommends products and services he would choose for himself or his family. If you'd like to learn more about Holland Financial or to schedule a one-on-one consultation with David, simply call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. No cost or obligation. Or visit planstronger.com.
Hey, welcome back. Dr. David Simonson, ladies and gentlemen, on the line with us, author of the book with Daniel Bates, When Parenting Backfires, 12 Thinking Errors That Undermine Parents' Effectiveness. Dr. David Simonson, we're glad to have you with you, doctor. And I wanted to come back just for a moment to, we talked about negotiation and the whole, you know, give and take with kids. And also, you know, whose money is it really when kids have accumulated a little bit of money and, you know, it's likely come from the parents or, you know, a related source. And this brings me to another question that I am so glad to be able to ask you about. The cell phone. Okay.
Yeah.
We paid for them. I made sure they were not birthday presents. And they have been replaced. They have been repaired. Screens break. New covers. I mean, the works. Okay. And all three of them got one. And for both my wife and myself, they are exceedingly convenient tools of behavior modification in that we take them away.
Yes.
What do you think?
No, I think that parents often have many tools of behavior modifications at their disposal that they don't use. And, you know, big one for a young man usually is a gaming system of some sort.
Oh, yeah.
And then cell phone is another one. iPods, MP3 players, social media, things like that.
Hit them where it hurts.
Kids, kids love those things, but I don't think they, I mean, they don't realize that those are the keys to the kingdom that the parents get to have control of. And so I think definitely it's totally appropriate to use those as behavior modification tools.
I don't want to be draconian in this, but I do want to get, you know, it's like in the classic Smoking the Bandit, when the sheriff, you know, catches the guys about to steal the car or steal parts from it, and he comes up and kicks him in the butt and says, "That's an attention getter." And so that's what taking the cell phone is my Buford T. Justice swift kick in the pants to get the kids' attention.
Yeah, it's much better than, like, smacking your kid.
Right.
You know, I think in the past there's a lot of smacking that went on. Let me ask you this. How many times have you broken your phone?
Me personally? Probably two or three.
Okay. So I have never dropped... I should knock on wood when I say this, but...
Yeah,
I've never dropped my phone... I've never dropped it in the toilet. I've never broken it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that to be, you know, prideful or anything. But one of the number one things I hear with parents is that kids break their phones, and then, well, I had to get them a new phone.
Yeah.
And so I think at some point we as parents have to draw a line, because. You know, if they're not being careful
Fair
with
said.
A phone that costs like $300,
I know.
I don't think that we should immediately just go out and get them another smartphone. Maybe, like, my kids started out with not having phones till 16, and then it was a track phone that had no data. It was just simply a phone that they could
Well,
call.
we have the loaner phone when one breaks. They have to use the flip phone for a while and it always takes a little while for me to get their phone fixed, because I want them to recognize the value. Listen, we got to run. Dr. David Simonson, ladies and gentlemen, author of When Parenting Backfires, 12 Thinking Errors That Undermine Parents' Effectiveness, davidsimonson.net. David, thank you so much for being with us. Great program.
Thanks for having me.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.